This podcast is brought to you by eRadio. For more podcasts, check out our website on eradiosa.com or download the eRadio SA app from the Google Play Store. Enjoy.
Yes, hello to you and welcome again to Tech Plus, the show where we talk about all things tech. My name is Ian and as always joined by Kane. Kane, very big hello to you.
Hello.
Welcome to the month of August.
We have arrived in the eighth month of the year.
I still smell Christmas.
I still feel mentally stuck in February. I'm like, I'm not ready for August.
I'm sort of in April, I think. Yeah, I feel like I'm still in April. I don't know why. Like, so I'm 4 months behind.
I'll tell you what, the sun going down later is much appreciated.
Yeah, we just spoke about that off air. You know, sunset is a little bit later, sunrise is a little bit earlier. So it helps, you know, it helps us to get out of bed and also stay outside a little bit longer, which is much appreciated.
You finding it's quite cold at the moment?
Yeah, well, tomorrow's going to be very cold again, so I think August is going to be like up and down, and then when September comes, then we're going to get like spring, and the warmer days will become more, well, hopefully, you know what the scientists are saying at the moment, the weather people saying that the weather is becoming more and more unpredictable, it's becoming more and more difficult to predict the weather, so...
That doesn't bode well.
No, so you never know. One of these days, you don't know. Maybe the seasons will shift dates. I don't know.
Well, here's something new that we do know.
Yeah.
Apparently, there have been some studies and apparently several recent studies found an association between eating ultra-processed foods made with ingredients not found in a home kitchen and cognitive decline. New preliminary research presented at the Alzheimer's Association International Conference suggests that regularly eating processed foods such as hot dogs, bacon, and bologna increases the risk of developing dementia later in life. The study tracked more than 130,000 adults in the United States for up to 43 years. During that period, 11,173 people developed dementia. Those who consumed about 2 servings of processed red meat per week had a 14% greater risk of developing dementia. So there you go. If you like to eat hot dogs and ultra processed foods like bacon and bologna, you could find yourself with a 14% greater risk of developing dementia, and that's not a small percentage, so...
Yeah, I'm a bit worried, because I don't even eat all that stuff, and I already sometimes have terrible memory loss.
So you should stick away from those foods with haste.
Yeah, like, I have stuff that happened in the 90s and early 2000s, I can easily recall, but ask me where my keys are? I don't know.
Couldn't tell you,
hey? Yeah.
That's the worst feeling in the world, where you've put something... somewhere in a moment of like non-recorded mental activity, you just, you know, you've got your keys in your hand, you're like, oh, I gotta do this, and then you're like, okay, let me grab those keys, you're like,
yeah, I'm always so deep in thought.
Where
you know?
Did it go?
Yeah, or sometimes maybe you took some medication and you don't know if you actually swallowed it. Like, you sit with a pill box, did I just drink it or not? I don't want a double dose.
Did I actually have keys even to begin with? Do you remember Boomerang, the show on DSTV?
Was it the channel? Yeah. It was like next to Cartoon Network.
It'd always be like, that's all, folks.
Yes. Know? Yeah,
Boomerang.
Yeah.
And then it had the little logo. The logo would like draw itself with wiry writing.
I remember it now. Is it not there on DSTV anymore?
Well, apparently the app and website for Boomerang, Warner Bros., Discovery's streaming service featuring classic Warner Bros. Cartoons, is being shut down on the 30th of September in favor of Max. Warner Bros. Digital is no longer offering Boomerang subscriptions. So apparently it's moving to Max, essentially.
So if it's still on DStv, then they're going to lose the channel. How does
I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, DStv will have to buy Boomerang from Max now, because obviously it goes to Max. And I think Max is the Warner Bros. And Discovery streaming service combo. Called Max, and obviously Boomerang is moving there. But I remember Boomerang.
Yeah, but I obviously first prize is Cartoon Network.
Yeah,
because that's where you got all those originals from.
But it was close between Nickelodeon and Cartoon Network. I'm not gonna lie.
Let's talk about Cartoon Network. What do you remember from Cartoon Network?
I remember everything.
I'll go Dexter's Laboratory.
Oh really? You're going with Dexter's Lab first?
Yeah.
Edie and Dexter. Remember that?
Yes. What does this button do?
We had Mega XLR. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Do you remember Courage the Cowardly Dog?
Oh, that was one of my first, but it traumatized me as well because it was quite twisted for children to watch.
Oh, that was...
And then, come on, you know which one
Eddie
it is.
Eddie and Eddie.
Yeah, because you always do the whistle.
And my... What?
Did you say Cow and Chicken?
Friends or something like that. Cow and Chicken.
Yeah. Cow and Chicken, I remember.
Cat Dog.
I remember, yes. I remember we had neighbors across the road and their parents said to them they can't watch Cow and Chicken. It's too graphic. Just remember her. She was practically naked, the cow.
So they said she
can't watch it. It's too graphic. So they banned Cartoon Network
Billy
in the house.
Billy and Mandy, Powerpuff
yes.
Girls.
Oh, man, Powerpuff Girls. Yeah, that was a favorite.
Mojo Jojo.
So once again, that. The day is saved. Thanks to the Powerpuff Girls.
I remember that. That was good TV,
man. Oh,
parents
man,
didn't
I
think
it.
So. I always think back to my dad. Always used to say, he's like, how could you watch this? Like, and now looking back, I'm like, yeah, actually, it was quite brain-numbing.
Especially Courage the Cowardly Dog. That was pretty disturbing, that show, actually.
All I remember is like,
when he's panicking. Yeah, and then he goes upstairs to that computer, and it was always so useless.
Shame, someone listening to us doesn't know anything about Cartoon Network.
Oh, well, like, then I feel sorry for you, because you missed out. Maybe you must do some research then and check out those shows, eh? Those were iconic.
Yeah. Do you remember when they used to have web games for those shows? You could go play, like, Cartoon Network.
Really? I never
on the
played
website.
It.
You could play, like, you could play, like, Scooby-Doo, and it was, like, very casino game kind of.
Do you remember the days? Now I'm going to hoi this one at you.
Yes.
Do you remember the days when you could play games on your DStv decoder?
Whoa, no.
That was just when DStv came out. I think 1999, 2000.
Really?
You could actually enter a games mode on your computer and then play with your TV remote.
There you go. DStv had it before
games.
Netflix.
Now, you see, they were hot stuff back then, DStv.
Just
look at them now. No, they're practically the SABC.
They just got stalled by the times, you know.
Yeah, it's very sad, actually. Hey, I miss those times, man.
So the Big C is rebranding.
Yes.
Can you believe it?
Cell C.
For
yourself.
Or for themselves, they're rebranding.
Yeah. We also spoke about that off air. Iconic Cell C in... Yeah, also, you see, those were the best times, the early 2000s.
Cell C ads, bro.
Those Cell C ads with that sexy voice.
Yeah.
That voice was amazing. And everybody thought it was this... a blonde woman with long legs, but it was actually a redhead doing voiceovers. But brilliant actress, by the way.
I wonder whatever she went on to do. I wonder if she...
No, she's still around, eh?
Really, eh?
Yeah, she's living in Cape Town now. I think she's teaching at a drama academy or whatever.
I wonder if she still uses that voice.
Mm-mm, not at all, no.
What is there? Do they have a thing now?
No, it's just all over the place.
Really?
Different voices, yeah.
Maybe
it's
that's
very
why they're
sad.
Rebranding. Maybe they want to bring some of that back.
Oh, well, I don't think it will
weeks,
ever be
eh?
The same again.
Two more tech shows from now, and we'll be talking about the Cell C rebrand.
New Cell C, and then we'll sort of join Cell C as well, because we want to be part of it.
Apparently, they said it's a new identity and a new start. No further details about the rebranding were announced, as the company plans to unveil them at this event in mid-August. The rebranding comes amid a larger overhaul at the company following its second recapitalization in September 2022. Following the recapitalization, Vodacom veteran George Mendes took the reins at Cell C. He also went on to say that one of my biggest ambitions from the start was to build and foster a great inclusive culture and team spirit. An amazing culture will help people navigate both good and bad days, Mendes said, and a critical focus was fixing the basics in Cell C's core business. They were struggling. We saw we saw, you know, when we did our analysis on what R1,000 invested 10 years ago into Vodacom, Cell C, MTN, and Telkom would net you. And I think Telkom was like third on the list for lead, you know, and none of them actually were profitable. None of those phone companies, if you had bought their stock 10 years ago, would have made you any money. So I wonder what Cell C is going to bring out. Do you think there's going to be AI? What do you think their edge is going to be?
Yeah. Because they changed the logo, I think, like 4 times in their existence already. Or this will be the 4th time. It used to be a C, but like little dots making up a C. Yes. And then it was the C with a circle around it looking like the copyright logo. And then the next one was like a variation of that with a thicker border, a thicker circle around it. Because everybody said... copyright sign. Why?
It does look like a copyright sign.
And then would there be copyright on the copyright sign? Are you allowed to use it?
See.
But yeah, like you said, like the early 2000s, that voice and everything in the ads, that's when you know, and even the TV ads were really good. That's when you know that your ad campaign works.
Yes.
If people talk about it 24 years later,
yes,
that's when you know you had a bloody good ad campaign. I could still hear it. She was like, yes, get 50% off.
Yeah, it would be
after
like...
midnight, when you call a friend, sell C for yourself.
Remember that? That was good, eh? In the middle of Carte Blanche and stuff.
Yeah.
I remember that stuff.
Ooh, that
when was
brilliant.
The last time you watched Carte Blanche?
Recently when Neisner was on.
Oh, really? Eh?
Yeah,
did that get you on?
When Neisner was on with the water problems and that stuff.
There was nothing good, eh? We would be praised,
it was.
Sure.
I was cringing watching. I was like, please, please, please. And then also, Shaman, when Derek Watts passed away from Carte Blanche.
He was a legend.
Yeah, I also watched the tribute show to him, and that was quite sad.
He was a legend. All I remember from Carte Blanche is
he just, I can't believe he's gone. It feels like he's going to pop up again on the TV on Sunday night.
Covering some news story.
Yeah.
Shame, man. He was awesome.
Yeah, yes.
So Tesla apparently has a mega rival coming up now. If they didn't have rivals before, Uber Technologies will team up with BYD. Have you ever heard of BYD?
Mm-mm.
They're a Chinese motor manufacturing company.
Okay.
And they manufacture electric vehicles. So Uber, everyone knows Uber, has partnered or teamed up with BYD to put 100,000 electric vehicles onto the ride-hailing company's platform in a major deal between American and Chinese businesses that notably excludes the US. Under the multi-year partnership, the two companies will offer drivers lower vehicle pricing and financing. So essentially together, they're going to be offering Uber drivers an ability to get financing on an electric vehicle in order to perform their Uber service, which is also quite interesting because it comes on the edge of you. If you're joining Uber for the first time and you're going to be, you know, getting a car, your car has to be no older than 3 years.
Yo, that was we discussed it last week, right?
Yes,
because I can't remember, but I actually since then I actually spoke to one of the Uber drivers and I said to him, did you get that notification about the car? And he said, yes, but the car that he's driving is not his.
Yeah.
But he said the car is, I think it made it. It was made in 2021, so it is 3 years old, so he can still use it, apparently.
I also heard something interesting. I thought, you know, what does that mean now? Uber drivers have to replace their car every 3 years to stay functional.
Oh, my word, what a point.
And I spoke to one of the Uber drivers, and apparently that might not be the case. I think what the case actually is to register your vehicle as an Uber vehicle. It has to be no older than 3 years. But
at that stage?
Yes, but okay. It's allowed to become older than 3 years.
Oh, okay.
After it's been registered.
Okay.
And I think it comes back to what we spoke about last week, which is it's probably much easier to estimate the life and quality and security of a vehicle that is below 3 years old, that was younger than 3 years old, than to approve a car that is 10 years old. So that makes sense to me. And if you just bought a brand new car, it's a year old, and you register on Uber and you do Uber for 8 years, Uber knows that you've registered at a time where the car was most likely to be a very good, well-functioning car. And I guess maybe they have some other checks and things. I also spoke to another Uber driver, and every year you have to renew your licensing. You have to do, like, there's a little bit of maintenance behind actually being an Uber driver and staying in that green zone of I'm legally allowed to within South Africa, and I'm legally allowed to within Uber operate as an Uber driver. And you have to, actually, there's quite a lot of paperwork. You got to resubmit licensing, roadworthies every single year. I mean, they're quite on top of it compared to something like Bolt. Uber even apparently screens the drivers for criminal records once a year.
Yeah, I was just going to say now, in the end, it's all in the name of safety and to keep us, the riders, safe.
Yeah, it is. And that's one of Uber's biggest things for drivers is they favor riders.
Yeah.
You know, it's the drivers delivering the service, but it's the riders that are favored. So a lot of things happen to drivers that is pretty challenging for them.
Yeah, they also get stuff happening to them. It's not always the other way around. Like, sometimes people just order an Uber to hijack it.
That's another thing, you know, like you're literally setting yourself.
It's actually a very dangerous job, eh? And remember, if those people get in the car, they're sitting behind you. You don't even know if they're going to pull out a knife now and put it, hold it to your...
They pick you up and tell you where to go, you know. At no point is the driver in charge of where he's going, so...
And you can't see behind you. That's very scary.
I think there's just a responsibility for drivers to say, you know, this is this ride that's being requested. It's going to an area I'm not comfortable with at a time I'm not comfortable.
Don't take it. Yeah.
No 40, 50, 60, 100, 200, 300, 500 rand is worth.
But I also heard that if they decline, they're not allowed to decline. I don't know. I think there's a limit of declines they can
have.
And then they get... like a...
they'll get penalized. But the real unfair part is if you were to let an Uber driver in Knysna accept every single ride, the likelihood that he actually the majority of his rides may or may not be profitable.
Mm.
That's the thing. And some rides might actually cost him the bit of money they made from other rides because they might have to go, you know, from Pazula to Brenton to pick someone up or something like that. And they only get paid for taking them from Brenton to wherever they go. So that trip across Knysna just to get there is uncovered.
Sure.
So it is a challenging job, you know. Hats off to the guys out there that are doing
it. A business model is still a little bit flawed.
It needs some work for small towns.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Absolutely.
Tip your Uber drivers. They're out here working hard. There's no doubt.
Yeah, please.
There's absolutely
afterwards,
no doubt.
And give them a nice rating.
Do you know who didn't get a nice rating? Eskom, who apparently got hit with a 3 million rand warning the other day.
I saw that, yeah.
I mean, 3 million rand to Eskom, I feel like, is not much now that we have the new electricity prices. Which are like serious.
So it's already covered. Listen, I couldn't believe it when the electricity minister this week said that they actually generated too much power this week. What?
That's a nice change.
Look at the picture last winter and look at the picture right now. I can't believe that they actually have a surplus of power. So they had to switch a few things off because it was making too much electricity, and that's also bad for the grid.
It's just, how did it get so fixed so soon?
Where's all the extra energy coming
from?
Where
was this a year ago? We needed this energy.
A year ago, it was the absolute opposite.
Something sounds
fishy. So that's, you see, that's why also, why I understand some people when they say it's man-made.
Skepticism, you know. They can naturally be there because it is odd. Like, how do we have excess power now but we didn't a year ago?
Like, extra power. That was unheard of.
What a commodity.
It was always, we don't have enough. We don't have enough. Switch off everything except for your TV.
So you're telling me we're -1 load shedding stage?
Yeah. Now they actually have extra power. What?
That's unreal. So apparently the Johannesburg Stock Exchange, or JSE, has censured Eskom and fined it 3 million rand for failing to comply with the JSE's debt listing requirements. However, the fine is wholly suspended for 3 years, provided Eskom isn't found to be in breach of similar provisions of the debt listing requirements during the suspension period. Apparently, Eskom failed to comply with provisions of the debt listing requirements after its promulgation in 2020. Consequentially, in September 2021, Eskom applied to the JSE for an extension to finalize the relevant policies and registers, and the JSE granted Eskom an extension from September 2021 to February 2022, which they also missed that and the follow-up to that as well, and now they've been fined because they didn't provide this documentation. According to them, apparently the documentation they have to provide is based on, you know, whether they've lent money to anyone or whether they're lending money from anyone, but they've gone on to say that they don't kind of participate in any of those kind of dealings, so there's nothing to report. But we will see exactly what the case is. But it's a 3 million rand fine, so I mean, I'd rather just submit a report that has nothing on it than
exactly
get three more fun. You know?
Couldn't they get somebody to just type up a quick
empty Excel sheet?
Expenses. Yo, just a little Word document with a letterhead or something, you know?
Man, that's crazy. Before we go to the music break, the last one. Threads. Remember Threads?
Yeah.
Latest Threads.
The
Zuck competitor. Twitter.
To Twitter, yeah, yeah.
The Twitter competitor, or the ex-competitor, Threads, has just hit 200 million monthly users.
Are you one of them?
I am one of them. I'm one of them, but I'm inactive. I'm not active on Threads, to be honest with
you.
Yeah,
I'm not. In fact, I actually closed my Instagram account. I don't take that many photos.
You don't have an Instagram account?
Nope.
Facebook account?
Facebook, yes.
So you should have a Threads account as by extension if you have a Facebook account.
Nah, I didn't say they can do that.
I didn't give them permission. You're not a fan of Threads, right?
Yeah, so I'm officially old now. I only have Facebook. I don't even have TikTok.
I was watching a video the other day that was made in like 2008 or 2006 or something like that, and they were talking about MySpace as if it's as popular as Facebook. Like
MySpace. One of the guys that was quite big. Shows
brought up MySpace, and the other guy didn't know what the heck it was, and the whole joke in the show was that this guy didn't even know what MySpace was. It's so dead now. Like no one, I've never heard of MySpace in ages.
You could put your music on there if you had a band.
Yes.
You could put your music on there.
MySpace.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was quite cool, actually.
Was it a Microsoft thing?
Oh gosh, I don't know.
Who knows? Sure. Is it time for a music break?
Oh yes, let's put our music on. Here we go. Welcome back to Tech Plus on this Saturday with myself, Ion, and also Kane, discussing the week's biggest tech stories. Kane, what is up next on the agenda?
Here's something I think you might find very interesting. AI startups are currently saying that copyright violation is kind of just rock and roll. Suno and Udio, have you ever heard of Suno and Udio?
No.
Suno and Udio are essentially music generation AI tools. So in the same way that you might use something like Midjourney to create an image with a text prompt, you might say, hey, show me a VW van with a red V on the front, and it will make you an image. Well, Suno and Udio is like, make me a country music sung by Lil Baby. And it will go ahead and it will produce a track for you that sounds like what you've asked or what you requested or what it interprets as your request. And the problem is that, you know, with these with this music being produced, some people have noted that some of the audio and some of the vocals that you hear in this music kind of sound similar to famous people like Michael Jackson and Nevada and, you know, all these well-known artists. And the argument is, well, it's a copyright infringement if you've just used Eminem's voice in another capacity. And what they basically say is they're saying it's not really copyright, because the logic is, would you say it's copyright if I learned to sing rock and roll music by listening to my favorite rock and roll music? Because AI is being trained simply to listen to music religiously, not to physically rebuild the music in its own way. Well, it's just listening to understand it.
Lawsuits coming up there.
So I think that's a pretty thin line to battle
but
upon.
The thing is, let's say it sounds like Eminem. If you're making it and it sounds like Eminem, are you marketing it as Eminem? Because that would not be allowed.
Because what happens if I listen to like 150 songs a day of Eminem, and in 6 months I produce a song where I sound almost exactly like Eminem? Am I copywriting?
I think you can do that, but you can't release it and say it's Eminem.
You can't put it out there and make money off of it, you think? Is that where the line is drawn? You can put it out there and say, hey, this is a cool song, but you don't think you should make money off of it.
I don't know. I mean, if you sound like him, maybe he inspired you, you know, so that's not a problem.
So what
but
if,
just don't market it as an Eminem song.
So what if I sound very much like Eminem, but I'm like 65. I was born before Eminem. Does that mean sounds more like me? And therefore, I should in fact...
Oh, no, that's a twist. That's a twist right there.
So, and now we bring the other element is, well, what if I let a computer listen to a lot of Eminem and then tell it just to make whatever song it wants, and all I've ever told it was music was Eminem's music, so the song it makes happens to sound like Eminem, but all it really knows is Eminem, but it's never been a song that Eminem has ever produced or a backtrack that he's ever used. Is it copyright?
No, I think it's all right as long as you don't release it and say it's Eminem.
I think it's complicated, and it's I think they're going to fight.
I don't think it's going to be a fan of that. Also, maybe you'll release it as Eminem, but just an extra N at the end. Eminem.
Well, it's M&M's, like M and M's.
Yeah.
Like an M and an M.
It's like more like chocolate. A parody. Yeah.
So apparently the RIAA is seeking damages of up to $150,000 for every work infringed. So they must have trained these AI models on hundreds of thousands of songs. So 150,000 times hundreds of thousands equals big problem. Not a lot of money that you have lying around. So it's going to be a very interesting thing, and it's a very important stage in all facts. We have the video game industry currently under strike because they want to protect their intellectual property by not allowing big franchises to use their hard work to train AI without compensating them appropriately, so that AI can essentially do their job without them. And that's the whole argument that's going on, whether it's in music, we're seeing it here with Udio and Suno, whether it's in art, we see it with artists in the Adobe Creative Cloud problem that we spoke about last week, whether it's in movies or game development, we see it as well. Movies, we see Hollywood in communications with GPT and there's a video model, I can't remember what it's called now. But it's also a very popular video model, and Hollywood's been in chats with them trying to purchase license agreements and stuff like that so they can produce music or movies. And the reality of the situation is the product of AI is very worthwhile. The means by which they make the AI good is the part that has the blurred lines, because it's people's work,
exactly.
It's human work, it's human employment, it's human revenue, and you're basically creating a machine that can outwork a person, outthink a person.
Yep.
Whether it's outwork cognitively, like in the breadth of the idea, or whether it's outwork in terms of turnover time. So if it can think twice as hard and twice as fast as you and produce 10 times faster than you, and you all work was the one that trained this thing and you didn't get compensated for it, you'd be pretty upset. You know, if you were very good at building houses and someone built a computer just to watch you build houses and you had the special technique, and now the computer sells, you know, the manufacturing of houses with your special technique for no labor cost at all, just a material cost, you would be like livid, you know? Mm-hmm. So we're seeing the war happen right now. It's not a tomorrow war. It's not something that's 10 years away. It's right now. And we're going to see the steps by which we proceed into the future will be determined by the outcomes of these various problems. I mean, the video game industry is striking right now. It's not like they're active right now. They're about to do something, I think, in Los Angeles. They're about to do a big strike there. We see games like GTA 6 being delayed. We see movies being delayed. We just had the actors strike.
Yeah,
almost exactly the same thing. So we've got actors, we've got video game artists, we've got musicians, you got every kind of person that AI is currently having a fight with someone or an argument with someone about how much they should be compensated and what is going to be the right way to do it. So we're going to have to pay close attention, but AI is obviously on another level.
Listen to this.
Yes.
This is also another level. You remember 2 weeks ago that CrowdStrike thing happened, eh?
Yes.
Where all the systems went blue. There was one airline, I think it's in America, Southwest Airlines, and they just continued operating as per usual. They weren't affected.
Why?
They're still running Windows 3.1.
No, really? Too old to it.
A version of Microsoft's operating system from 1992, and because of that, they were not affected. So, sometimes it pays to go old school,
to be a dinosaur pays off, bro.
Windows 3.2.
That just tells
those graphics.
Don't throw away your VCR just yet. You don't know whether it could come in handy. That's absolutely insane.
Yeah, I think that's amazing, but I think outdated is putting it mildly.
That is like, I haven't even seen that operating system before.
It's before my time. It's all gray, a little bit of color.
So they've been using that thing for 5 years longer than I've been alive.
Yeah.
That's insane. talking about insane, you know Apple Watches, right?
Yes.
Everybody knows the Apple Watch. Well, Apple came out with their Apple Watch Ultra, and it is obviously it's an amazing little watch. So Samsung apparently is, according to customers at the moment, Samsung, they customers feel like Samsung just looked at this Galaxy, this Apple Watch, and said, let's just make a spec sheet of all the things that the Apple Watch has, the top of the range Apple Watch has, that the Samsung Watch doesn't have. And on our next release, we'll make sure that everything we don't have that Apple has, we will make sure we have. So Samsung Galaxy just came out with their Watch Ultra, which literally has every single feature that Apple's best watch has. Mm-hmm. And people are saying that functionally copying Apple worked for the Galaxy Watch Ultra, but it just is a bit disappointing because it feels like Samsung is absent in this new watch. It feels like they've got so obsessed with copying exactly what Apple did that they ended up with an Apple Watch branded with a Samsung logo kind
Oopsie.
Of thing.
Oh dear.
So that's something to think about. And when you're paying 15,000 Rand for a watch, you know, you really got to think about it. So the good and the bad of the new Samsung Galaxy Watch Ultra, apparently it has a longer battery life than the regular Galaxy Watch. I can attest to that. The Galaxy Watch 4 has a battery life of like 20 hours if you're using it a lot. So that's really nice to see. Double pinch is obviously, there's some smart features for how you control the watch, and one of them is a double pinch motion. It adds dual frequency GPS and sleep apnea detection. Actually, the Samsung's sleep apnea detection feature is one of the only features that the Samsung Galaxy Watch has that the Apple Watch doesn't have. Not because they lack the hardware, but because Apple's actually getting sued for the technology they used in that sleep apnea detection. And they're being sued by one of the other companies for that. And apparently the watch will also be cheaper than like Apple Watch Ultra. So if cost is your priority, then the Galaxy Watch Ultra will get you everything that the Apple Watch did and a little bit more for a little bit less. The bad though, the watch itself lacks Samsung in it. The problem with the watch face is it doesn't fit all small wrists. It's the sleep apnea feature is limited. If you don't have a Galaxy phone, you won't be able to use it. And there's some metric stuff that isn't so good that you can read about online as well. But we'll see more about that. Have you seen how expensive those Garmin watches are?
Yeah, I didn't even look at those.
I think it was the other day we spoke about some of the most expensive stuff on Takealot, and we had like a Garmin watch at like 50,000 Rand or something ridiculous.
No, that's ridiculous. But listen, now that you talk about iPhones and Android or Samsung trying to be like Apple, did you know that you actually get apps that you can install on your phone? I don't think it's a free app, but you get like a few of those. You pay a couple of bucks to make your Samsung, your Android, look like an iPhone.
Really?
Yeah, like the user interface. So then everything looks like an iPhone.
Oh, that's cool. So it's kind of like a skin for your Android to make it feel like an Apple.
But it's a bit more complicated because everything literally looks like an iPhone. It even sounds like an iPhone.
Oh, really? The ringtone?
Everything. And the, like the screen brightness adjusting and all that stuff.
Do you think people would fall for it? Because in all fairness, you could think this is a Samsung if you'd looked at it quick enough. My Apple with the, with the cover on.
Because the Samsungs don't come out with the Samsung logo anymore. It used to be, remember the old Samsungs, like at the top, it said Samsung.
Yes, yeah.
Now it doesn't say anything, so it could be a Huawei, it could be a what's that one called with the O?
Oppo.
Somebody asked me this week if she should buy an Oppo. Should she buy an Oppo? Is it
yes,
good?
Actually, Oppo's doing pretty well in China. So anytime,
is it a nice phone?
Anytime a phone model's doing well in China, it means that the consumers believe that it has enough equipment and to do what they need to do, but it has a price tag that is offering a better quality or better value for money than your.
Because she's also looking at a Huawei.
Yeah.
Is that Huawei? Is that problem?
They just released the new operating system.
Is it sorted now? Can you get Google apps?
You can, but you're never going to go back to where we were with the pre-Android getting
that's
removed.
That's the thing.
Won't be the same. So it's not a problem. It's just if you need to be honest with yourself, if you're really not good with working with a phone, like if it confuses you trying to just use and navigate your phone, don't do it because it's going to confuse you a little bit more. But if you feel like you know your way around your phone and you see like, you know, a Huawei on the shelf and it looks really good and it's the right price tag for you and you're competent that, you know, you can use your phone pretty well, do it. You know, you're going to get good value for money. They have some of the best tech. They have some of the most innovative features because they have to. You know, they're limited by their operating system, so they have to bring something to the table, and what they bring to the more advanced users is actually valuable. So yeah, Huawei is good.
So Kane.
Yeah.
Let's talk about your geezer.
Yes.
Have you got one?
I do. And they installed it outside.
Oh no! One of those outside ones. Oh my gosh! My one friend's got a geezer outside, and they keep stealing the copper pipes.
Oh no, really?
Yeah. Shame. Now and then she opens the tap in the morning, and then there's no hot water, and then oh gosh, they stole the bloody.
Oh my goodness.
But anyway, so you've got a geezer. Do you leave it on, or are you in the team that believes that you can just switch it on an hour or so before a shower?
Not when it's outside. I don't think.
Okay,
it's,
well, that changes the picture.
No, I kind of leave it on when it, because it's
you
outside,
leave it on now.
It on.
Okay, what did you do in your previous house? Did you?
I like manage the geezer. I would, like keep it off majority of the time and occasionally switch it on.
But sometimes we forget to switch it on, and then you want to go shower. Now you got to wait at least an hour to go, and that's where this little thing comes in. So handy, a nice gadget.
Okay, what does the gadget do?
And it's only 350 rand on take a lot.
It reminds me of the switch in your. In your power,
it is actually a switch that you put in over there. So you'll buy it, and then you shouldn't install it yourself. You'll get somebody to install it in the slot that your geezer switches.
Okay, is it like a timer?
Then it manages it, but it connects to your home Wi-Fi.
Okay,
and you manage it off an app on your phone.
Oh, that's cool.
And then you can be in bed and like, oh, I want to go and shower tomorrow morning at 7. Then you like.
So is it like a smart feature?
It's a smart, it's basically a smart switch. So then you like, hey, I want to shower at 7 o'clock tomorrow morning, so I'll set it for 7 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Turn on at 7 a.m.
And it will switch off again whenever you want it to. So that switch is then connected to your phone and Wi-Fi.
So your
how awesome is this? Did you even know about this?
No, I didn't. So there you go. Your DV board can now have a smart.
And how much will this set you back? 350 for this actual thing?
You probably save 350 in a month.
Yeah. So 350 for this little switch, and then just get an electrician to do it. How much will they charge an hour?
Nah, not much. But probably like $1,000.
Yeah, or even less. And then boom, Bob's your uncle.
There you go. Next time your geezer pops or something, or next time your geezer's faulty, then go buy one of those. Because then you can do it the same time.
So it slots into your DB board, as you can see those screws and everything. So it looks just like one of those and connects to your home Wi-Fi. So as long as your Wi-Fi is working and your phone's on the network, then you can do
this.
That's
very cool.
Even remotely. And it's got a timer as well. So now people are asking, hey, what's it called? It's a smart Wi-Fi geezer timer with energy metering. You can even see how much electricity it uses.
Wow.
Smart Life Tuya app. That's Tuya.
And that's on Takealot, eh?
Takealot, my bro.
Wow.
It's got 220 reviews, and most people are very, very happy with this. 358 at the moment. 358
rants. That is nothing.
Smart Wi-Fi geezer timer with energy metering. Smart Life Tuya app. That's what it's called.
Sounds like a typical Takealot product with 20 words in its name. It's like a huge name.
Yeah. Now go get it. But you know, I haven't tried it myself. I'm really thinking of getting one. But yeah, I then I'll let you know how it works.
If I think your house worth it.
If your house burns down in the meantime, it's not my fault. Don't do it yourself.
It's untested.
Don't do it yourself. You need to get an electrician to do it. You can't just replace your own geezer switch. I don't think that's wise.
On that note, is it time for a music break?
It is time for a music note, yes. And welcome back to Tech Plus. We are now in the final stretch of this week's show, our first one for the month of August, and we're talking tech. Kane, what is next?
Right now, I think we're going to take a look at some of the hottest topics of the day. We've got Google Chrome is going to use, and I think this is a very useful feature, is going to use AI to help you compare products from across your tabs. The new tab compare feature will pull product information from your tabs into one table. You know how useless
that's that is? That's very nice, especially if you like want to buy a new phone or need new TV or whatever.
The amount of links that I go through when picking something that costs more than like 5,000 rand is like...
But is it for free, this comparison thing?
Yes, it's going to be a Chrome-specific AI feature. It's going to look at whatever product you're looking at, and it's going to create a comparison table for you.
My word.
Whether you're looking at two phones or to toothbrushes, because have you seen how complicated amazing. Toothbrushes are now? You can get a toothbrush for $50 or 15,000 rand.
So, I mean, what does the 15,000 rand one do?
You should use the Chrome tab thing to compare, because I'm still trying to figure it out. It cleans your teeth for you.
It comes to your bed and brushes your teeth.
Okay. It talks to you, Don. It's also a friend. It's Wally.
Toothbrush friend. Oh.
Man. So apparently Google is doing it to help ease the pain of comparing shopping across multiple tabs in Chrome with a new AI-powered tool that can summarize your tabs. What's the value in it? Well, some sites will let you actually compare products. But if you're browsing Amazon and you're browsing Takealot and you're browsing Woolies Tech, you're going to find yourself in a thing where you're like switching between all these tabs. So what they're basically saying they can do is create a new tab that has all the product information from all your tabs that are open, so that you can just see it on one page and see, okay, this phone on Amazon, or this table on Amazon, or this piece of tech on Amazon compared to this piece of tech on Takealot has the following differences. And I'm sure in time the AI will actually create comparative summaries for you. They'll say, this is the clear winner of your comparison, it's the most cost efficient or whatever. So we're getting some of that. That's actually a useful AI tool, I must say.
That's a very good one.
That could really help me. Apparently the Olympics is popping off on TikTok. TikTok is one of the most popular places to watch Olympic off-topic news, and it's where we saw some of the guys at the Olympics that got robbed. They got one of their vans broken into, and the guys stole bicycle, and they stole like all of his clothes and all of his like nutrition stuff. It was like quite hectic, and then they found it dumped around in the street. Some other guys got robbed at weapon point just before the Olympics. So that was another thing. Apparently, they raised the Olympic flag upside down in one of the days.
And then also, there was one country, they played the wrong national anthem.
It
started, stopped.
I think another one was they introduced North Korea as South Korea.
That's a big mistake.
Terrible,
that will get
bad.
You killed.
Yeah, it was bad. And apparently, like, the Koreans, like, made an announcement, like, how upset they are about one of the wrestling teams were wrestling. I think it was Indonesia. I will have to be corrected. But the coach got so visibly upset by the judge's ruling that he went up in front of national TV and started stripping down, taking off his clothes and shouting and whatever. And then he walks off and you think it's all over. And another one of the coaches walks up and proceeds to also start stripping down.
Yes, so have you ever been that mad that you start stripping? Yeah?
On TV, as a coach.
But have you ever been that angry where you feel the need to take off your clothes?
To just go and go to national TV and just start.
But why would you even do that? I also saw that the girls, the people are also, there's also the swimming.
Yes.
There's like a page or pages or whatever dedicated to all the bulges from the swimming.
Oh, yeah.
All the different swimwear and how they zoom in on it. It is crazy.
Did you see them with the fashion shows? Like all the different people with all their different fashion for the Olympics. That's your the people. Popular stuff on TikTok. That's what's popping off on TikTok, which is really cool because you see a side of the Olympics that actually wasn't. I didn't know, it sounds like such a stupid thing, but I didn't connect the dots that these Olympic athletes actually have a life when they go to the Olympics and compete.
Yeah.
You think they just appear at the start of every event.
It's beyond what you're seeing on TV.
Their beds, their cardboard foam beds, and did you see that?
No.
They go look at the beds that they're sleeping in. It's like a cardboard frame. It's legit cardboard, and inside of it, it looks like packaging foam.
That's
the bed. I don't know. That's what they sleep on. They got that bed, which is the crazy thing for me.
That's not good.
For me, I thought, okay, maybe it's recycling or, it's gonna greener hurt. Environment or whatever. But with they got that cardboard bed and a Galaxy Flip phone. they got like a...
No, man, that's
180 rand bed and like a 45,000 rand phone.
What a contrast. Is it not something to do with the bed bug epidemic in Paris?
Maybe
they're tired of sleeping on the actual they're scared of sleeping on the actual mattresses. But I mean, if you're doing sport and everything and you sleep uncomfortably at night, you're going to be all stiff in the morning. How are you going to do your sport?
And I think all the talk of this Olympics and all the problems is making Saudi Arabia a little bit bullish to get in the action and make some noise. So
what the actual hell, sorry, what? I just want to say something quickly.
Yes.
What the actual hell happened with the opening ceremony? What on earth?
Oh, that was...
What geez. A weird display. What on earth was that? I see know. Trump was also like, what?
What on earth?
What's happening?
I don't know how enough important people put their heads together to make that.
Was it actually planned to be controversial? Because damn, you succeeded.
I think some that was guy just had like some really cool ambition and it just got misinterpreted.
No, it was just I don't even have words for it.
You know when you think something's so good but you don't like miss the obvious like offensive things that might be rooted deep down because you're just not familiar with them. I think that's what happened. I don't think they tried to do something bad. I think they tried to do something really cool, but they just didn't apply, you know, would this be found as offensive to any religion across the planet?
Oh my Lord, and, no, that was just...
Because it was super offensive to the Christianity.
Absolutely, Christianity,
yeah. It wasn't a joke.
I actually wished that my TV would break. That's how bad it was.
I just wanted it off. I wouldn't be able to watch
break,
it.
Break.
Especially that guy dressed up in blue, and that was quite the show, eh?
Yeah.
Talking about show, remember the Saudi Arabia wall? The big, long, 150-kilometer wall that's actually a city that,
Saudi Arabia wants
to build.
Oh, wow, I remember. Yeah.
So inside the country's linear smart city, more than 350 meters off of the ground is the NUM Stadium. This is a proposal for a World Cup stadium straight out of Cyberpunk. And Saudi Arabia revealed the 11 soccer stadiums it plans to build as part of its bid to host the 2034 FIFA World Cup, and one of them looks like it came out of a video game. The NUM Stadium would be located within the country's dystopian smart city, 350 meters off of the ground, and it literally, I'll show you a picture of it, it's literally a soccer stadium 350 meters off of the ground, connected to a massively large straight line city.
I can't see that far.
It's quite the sight.
Oh my gosh, wow.
You know? So I think, I mean, where would you rather go now that I think about it and looking at what happened with Paris, where would you rather go for the Olympics? Dubai to watch a match on that stadium, or would you rather go to Paris and watch them make fun of a religion? That's actually pretty crazy, eh? So Saudi Arabia loves to get in the news, kind of talk about all the advanced stuff that they're doing for the 2034. Well, 10 years from now, they're starting to talk about it. So that building has obviously begun. Then in some other news quickly, NZXT, which is a gaming PC manufacturer, they make PC cases and some graphics cards and some keyboards and things like that. They'll start renting out PCs. So for about $160 or about 3,000 rand, you can probably rent one of the highest tier PCs that you can build for probably about 50, 60,000 rand. But that's obviously about 3,000 rand a month that you're going to be renting it for. Sure. But it all goes all the way to about 1,200 rand a month for a pretty decent PC. So I haven't seen many PC rental companies, like actual desktop computer rental companies. But
not in South Africa.
No, very interesting seeing NZXT come into the mix. Yeah. They're not in South Africa, though. They'll hopefully one day come here, but they're going to be doing a European and an American push first. We also have the Microsoft news, which is Microsoft is apparently removing ads from Skype. I don't know if you've used Skype in a long time.
Oof.
I really don't use Skype.
It's been years. I remember that sound that it makes.
Bloop. Or something
yeah,
like
that little bubble sound.
I remember it. In other news as well, Activision, the creators of Call of Duty Warzone, has released its Warzone Kaldana map data of basically all the details of the map, including player routes and things like that. And they've done that open source so people can use AI to interpret it and build some conclusions off of it. So it's the first time we've seen data like that potentially be used for AI. So it'll be interesting to see how that comes out. Elon Musk for X has allowed users to block Grok from training on your posts. So Elon Musk obviously also being a part of the news in the light of what we spoke about with Adobe Creative Cloud problems and the image generation problems and the music industry copyright related problems. Elon Musk has come forward to say that within X you can actually opt out of any of your data being used to train the AI tool that they have, which is called Grok. And then finally, we have Intel, who will be apparently laying off 15,000 employees and will stop all non-essential work. And apparently, their 13th and 14th gen CPUs have been crashing a lot lately. And as a result, to better help customers, they've decided to extend their warranties on all of their CPUs that are 13th and 14th gen by 2 years. So if your laptop has a 13th gen or a 14th gen CPU in it, or your desktop has and you bought it recently, you now have an extra 2 years warranty for that particular product, as some of the products have probably had some manufacturing issues and had some problems. And that brings us to the end.
The end of the show. That was quick.
The end of the show and the start of the month.
That was quick. Kane, thank you so much, man. It was another great show. And we'll do it again next week, same time, same place. I hope you're going to enjoy the rest of your weekend.
You too. And thank you to all of our listeners for listening. And see you same time next week.
Cheers.
Cheers, everyone. Bye-bye.
This podcast was brought to you by eRadio. For more podcasts, check out our website on eradiosa.com or through the eRadio SA app from the Google Play Store.